Summer is the best time on the island of the Blue Dolphins. The sun is warm then, and the winds blow milder out of the west, sometimes out of the south. It was during these days that the ship might return, and now I spent most of my time on the rock, looking out from the high headland into the east, toward the country where my people had gone, across the sea that was never ending. Once while I watched, I saw a small object which I took to be the ship, but a stream of water rose from it, and I knew that it was a whale spouting. During those summer days, I saw nothing else. The first storm of winter ended my hopes. If the white men's ship were coming for me, it would have come during the time of good weather. Now I would have to wait until winter was gone, maybe longer. The thought of being alone on the island while so many suns rose from the sea and went slowly back into the sea filled my heart with loneliness. I had not felt so lonely before because I was sure that the ship would return as Matasep had said it would. Now my hopes were dead. Now I was really alone. I could not eat much, nor could I sleep without dreaming terrible dreams. The storm blew out of the north, sending big waves against the island and wind so strong that I was unable to stay on the rock. I moved my bed to the foot of the rock and for protection kept a fire going throughout the night. I slept there 5 times. The first night the dogs came and stood outside the ring made by the fire. I killed 3 of them with arrows, but not the leader, and they did not come again. On the 6th day, when the storm had ended, I went to the place where the canoes had been hidden and let myself down over the cliff. This part of the shore was sheltered from the wind, and I found the canoes just as they had been left. The dried food was still good, but the water was stale, so I went back to the spring and filled a fresh basket. I had decided during the days of the storm, when I had given up hope of seeing the ship, that I would take one of the canoes and go to the country that lay toward the east. I remembered how Kimki, before he had gone, had asked the advice of his ancestors who had lived many ages in the past, who had come to the island from that country, and likewise the advice of Zuma, the medicine man who held power over the wind and the seas. But these things I could not do, for Zuma had been killed by the Aleuts, and in all my life I had never been able to speak with the dead, though many times I had tried. Yet I cannot say that I was really afraid as I stood there on the shore. I knew that my ancestors had crossed the sea in their canoes, coming from that place which lay beyond. Kimki, too, had crossed the sea. I was not nearly so skilled with a canoe as these men, but I must say that whatever might befall me on the endless waters did not trouble me. It meant far less than the thought of staying on the island alone, without a home or companions, pursued by wild dogs, where everything reminded me of those who were dead and those who had gone away. Of the 4 canoes stored there against the cliff, I chose the smallest, which was still very heavy because it could carry 6 people. The task that faced me was to push it down the rocky shore and into the water, a distance 4 or 5 times its length. This I did by first removing all the large rocks in front of the canoe. I then filled in all these holes with pebbles and along this path laid down long strips of kelp, making a slippery bed. The shore was steep, and once I got the canoe to move with its own weight, it slid down the path and into the water. The sun was in the west when I left the shore. The sea was calm behind the high cliffs. Using the 2-bladed paddle, I quickly skirted the south part of the island. As I reached the sand spit, the wind struck. I was paddling from the back of the canoe because you can go faster kneeling there, but I could not handle it in the wind. Kneeling in the middle of the canoe, I paddled hard and did not pause until I had gone through the tides that run fast around the sandspit. There were so many small waves, and I was soon wet, but as I came out from behind the spit, the spray lessened and the waves grew long and rolling. Though it would have been easier to go the way they slanted, this would have taken me in the wrong direction. I therefore kept them on my left hand, as well as the island, which grew smaller and smaller behind me. At dusk, I looked back. The island of the Blue Dolphins had disappeared. This was the first time I felt afraid. There were only hills and valleys of water around me now. When I was in a valley, I could see nothing, and when the canoe rose out of it, only the ocean stretching away and away. Night fell, and I drank from the basket. The water cooled my throat. The sea was black, and there was no difference between it and the sky. The waves made no sound among themselves, only faint noises as they went under the canoe or struck against it. Sometimes the noises seemed angry, and at other times like people laughing. I was not hungry because of my fear. The first star made me feel less afraid. It came out low in the sky, and it was in front of me toward the east. Other stars began to appear all around, but it was this one I kept my gaze upon. It was the figure we call a serpent, a star which shone green and which I knew. Now and then it was hidden by mist, yet it always came out brightly again. Without this star I would have been lost, for the waves never changed. They came always from the same direction, and in a manner that kept pushing me away from the place I wanted to reach. For this reason the canoe made a path in the black water like a snake. But somehow I kept moving toward the star which shone in the east. This star rose high, and then I kept the north star on my left hand, the one we call the star that does not move. The wind grew quiet. Since it always died down when the night was half over, I knew how long I had been traveling and how far away the dawn was. About this time, I found that the canoe was leaking. Before dark, I had emptied one of the baskets in which food was stored and used it to dip out the water that came over the sides. The water that now moved around my knees was not from the waves. I stopped paddling and worked with the basket until the bottom of the canoe was almost dry. Then I searched around, feeling in the dark along the smooth planks, and found the place near the bow where the water was seeping through a crack as long as my hand and the width of a finger. Most of the time, it was out of the sea, but it leaked whenever the canoe dipped forward in the waves. The places between the planks were filled with black pitch, which we gather along the shore. Lacking this, I tore a piece of fiber from my skirt and pressed it into the crack which held back the water. Dawn broke in a clear sky, and as the sun came out of the waves, I saw that it was far off on my left. During the night, I had drifted south of the place I wished to go, so I changed my direction and paddled along the path made by the rising sun. There was no wind on this morning, and the long waves went quietly under the canoe. I therefore moved faster than during the night,